Last Sunday morning, we started a new series from the Old Testament, from the life of a man named Samuel. Samuel is the earliest prophet in the Bible that we have stories about, and we have a lot of them, 28 chapters worth of stories from the book of 1 Samuel. Samuel lived a long life, and there's stories about him even before he was born that we're going to look at this morning, all the way to even after he died. There are stories about Samuel. In fact, when I think about Samuel's life, I think no matter how old you are, if you're here and you're in this series, you're going to be probably about the age of Samuel, some of the stories that took place in his life. He had a long life, and from beginning to end, it was filled with experiences and stories that I believe, if you have a heart that is open to God's truth and you're seeking God's Spirit, and you're teachable, then I believe that there are stories in here that will speak to your heart. I believe that about me. I believe that every time we open the Bible and we study. You know, you can open your Bible and get nothing out of it. And that, I think, has to do more with where your heart is and your mind and your attitude. Attitude makes all the difference in the world when you study the Scripture. And you're seeking God's Spirit. If you have a hardened attitude, then you probably won't get much out of reading the Bible. But if you say, God, I want to hear from your living heart, and you study the Bible, I believe that God can and will and does speak to you. Well, Samuel's story begins in chapter 1 with the faith of his mother, Hannah. It is a beautiful story. I read it a few minutes ago, and how God used this woman, Hannah, to bring to Israel a great prophet. And this is kind of the beginning story of the life of Samuel. Would you go ahead to a couple of slides advanced there, Nate, would you would? I want to talk about the story. And Hannah's husband's name was Elkanah. When you read the first couple verses of this book and this chapter, you have five generations that are mentioned of Elkanah's family. And so somewhere down the way, the record is kept of these families that led up to the birth of Samuel. His family tree, if you're thinking of it like that, is mentioned early on here. Well, this man named Elkanah had two wives. And as you know from reading, if you've read many of the stories from the Old Testament, that there was a long time in the Old Testament where it was a common practice for men in the Middle East to have more than one wife, polygamy. And in early Israel, it was the same way. And it wasn't until later in the kind of the time period of the Old Testament that they began to understand that it was not God's plan for a man to have more than one wife. And so more about that is found later in the Old Testament and then throughout the New Testament. But early on, it wasn't that way. And when I think about those stories of having two wives or more wives, polygamy, every story I think of in the Bible where a man had more than one wife is a story of pain. And this is one of them. And so we have this story of a man who had two wives. One wife was Peninnah, and the other was Hannah. I think of how true the reality is today also. God's plan was always that one man and one woman would come together to form a marriage. And outside of that plan, it brings pain. In this area as well, we've talked about in our study of Lot, other areas of our sexuality, and when we're outside of God's plan, it brings pain, whatever direction we are. And this is probably a good story or an example of that as well. The two shall become one. We do read in the very earliest chapters of Genesis, and Jesus talked about that in the New Testament in his affirmation of marriage, when the man and the woman come together. Well, Elkanah had two wives, and Hannah and Peninnah were their names. We're also told early in this reading that Hannah had no children while Peninnah had many children. She had many sons and daughters. It wasn't just that Peninnah, the one wife, had one child or two, but it just seems like Peninnah had a lot of children and a large family. And every one of those children that were born to Peninnah caused Hannah to feel a deeper loss in her life and a hurt that was deep. And so it was hard for Hannah. And according to the story, it was even harder for Hannah at a certain time of the year when all Jewish men and their families would travel to where the tabernacle was, the temple was of the Lord, and he would bring his annual sacrifice to the Lord, and there they would gather together with the people and the neighbors. And this was particularly a difficult time for Hannah, because I'm sure it was there that she would see many of the people that she had grown up with, perhaps her friends, and it just seemed to make the situation deeper inside of her, the emptiness, the pain that Hannah had, that she had no children. She probably felt very empty. She felt like a failure. She felt ashamed. Maybe she felt humiliated, and all the people, I'm sure, would notice that, and probably some of them would be wise about what they said, but others would not be very careful, and they would say things like, "Oh, Hannah, you haven't had any children again," and it just was a constant reminder that Penaniah had children and that she did not. And what's more is that many of the Jews felt like when God closed the womb of a woman, it was her own fault because of who she was or something inadequate about herself. And they kind of just lived with that hurt that made them feel deeper, a sorrow, and just feel like they were not doing what they should do. And then you add to that Penaniah and her actions toward Hannah, her rival, she's called Penaniah. Look at verse 7. It says here in verse 7, "This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat." What was worse is you had this woman, Penaniah, who had all these children, and she could see how Hannah felt about that. And it says that instead of being a comfort to her, or being kind to her, being gracious to her, instead Penaniah just wanted to rub the salt in her wound. And year after year, Penaniah would remind Hannah, "You don't have any children and I do." And it just became deeper and deeper, a hurt and a pain in Hannah's life. By her actions and by her words, Penaniah and her attitude drove the pain deeper into Hannah. I suppose probably that we could stop there and just focus a sermon right here on Penaniah's attitude and how she rubbed into the wound of Hannah this deep hurt that was right there, a selfish spirit, how painful it can be, how painful people can be when they are inconsiderate of the feelings of others. Instead of weeping with Hannah, she rejoiced in her suffering. So Penaniah and her story and her life are quite a contrast in this chapter to the faithfulness of Hannah in the midst of her suffering. And then there's another character in the story. I mentioned before Elkanah. Elkanah was Hannah's husband. And we're told from this little picture that we have of Elkanah that he was a kind man and he was thoughtful and he seemed to have a little bit of a clue, a little bit of an inkling, you might say, of what his wife Hannah was going through. And so he was considerate of her feelings, and he wanted to encourage her and be thoughtful for her. And so when they went up to the temple, and Elkanah could see how deeply painful it was for his wife Hannah, it says that he gave her a double portion. Look at the beginning of verse 5. It says, "But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb." Elkanah understood somewhat. He saw something in Hannah and understood how deeply she hurt. And then down also in verse 8, "Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Elkanah seemed to be trying to comfort his wife in the midst of what she was feeling. He saw the pain in his wife, but he did not know what to do with it. He tried to be helpful, but he fell far short. Sometimes the people around us, when we hurt, when we have pain, when there's something that's been deeply painful to us, the people that love us most sometimes still aren't able to help to comfort us when we hurt. But her husband, Elkanah, tried to do that. And so we have Penaniah, and we have Elkanah, and now we have a look at Hannah. Hannah, like a prior story in the book of Genesis that we looked at not too long ago, was unable to have children. You remember that Abraham's wife is growing older and unable to have a child, and God worked a miracle in their lives. And And yet when we read about Sarah, we read of the deep pain in her life. To conceive a child was so important to her, and the inability to do so brought her a great and a deep pain. She longed for a baby. Have you ever longed for something that was good and it never came? Have you ever wanted something that was a good thing to want for and yet it never came? Well, Hannah wanted wanted a baby for such a long time. When her husband tried to comfort her, I noticed that Hannah did not react to her. In fact, I noticed we have no record of Hannah reacting in a nasty way to anybody here. Hannah didn't have a nasty spirit. Doesn't seem like she did to even Peninnah. We might not know the whole story here, obviously, but all we see in the story is Peninnah just picking at her and provoking her. And instead of Hannah reacting in a nasty way, the hurt and the pain went deep inside of Hannah. And when her husband tried to help her, she did receive the gift. And she knew that her husband was trying to comfort her. I noticed that she did try to respond. It says, once when they had finished eating and drinking, Hannah stood up. Hannah did do what her husband suggested. Hannah, come and eat. You need to do that. And she did that. But it's what Hannah does after Elkanah tries to comfort her that shows her a deep character in her faith and in her life. Verse 9 says, she stood up and she took her bitterness to the Lord. I think of what happens when we have pain in our lives. What happens when we're disappointed? What happens when things don't work out the way that we hope they do? What happens when somebody disappoints us? What happens when somebody even is cruel to us? All these are a part of the story of Hannah and the birth of Samuel. What do we do? Who are we? What do we find out about ourselves when we deal with pain? Well, this story in the first chapter of Samuel to me is a picture of asking that question. What do you do with pain in your life? What do you do when you feel disappointed? What does it do to you? Where does it eat at you? How do you handle your feelings when somebody hurts you? How do you handle your feelings when life hasn't worked out and turned out the way that you think that it should and it would? Well, Hannah is a beautiful picture of how God wants us to respond when we have a deep time of pain, when we go through something that is difficult. In verse 10, we're told what Hannah did in the midst of her pain. It says in verse 10, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. You know, this story isn't pretending that pain isn't deep and that pain doesn't rip at you on the very inside and just tear out at your heart when somebody hurts you or you've been touched by pain and suffering in your life, whether it be physical suffering, whether it be in a broken relationship, whether it be because someone betrayed you, whatever it is in your life. Hannah's picture and Hannah's story is a story of a woman who was hurt deeply, and she cried out to God. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. She wept much. It's not that Hannah didn't hurt deeply. It's not that people that aren't hurt deeply can get over it. The truth is, people that hurt deeply have an opportunity and can turn their hurt and their pain in the right direction, and that's what Hannah did. Sometimes the pain of life is so deep, and maybe no one around you understands what you feel or what you have felt or some experience that has been so painful in your life, and you know that it affects you, you know that it changes your feelings, and Hannah is a good example of what we should do when we've been hurt in life and the pain that is a part of life. Hannah is a great example of what to do when we face times of deep pain in our lives. She took her pain to God. I think, well, what did she take to God here in this verse? In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much. I believe that Hannah took her disappointment to God. She somehow took the loss to God. She was able to take to God the hole in her heart and her spirit and her life. She was able to take to the Lord the words and the cutting innuendos or whatever they were from Peninnah. She was able to take to the Lord that part of her experience where someone had hurt her over and over and over again. She felt the pain and she came to the place of taking them to the Lord. She perhaps took to the Lord that feeling when she was with the people around her and when they they didn't understand her pain. Maybe some of them tried to encourage her, probably did, but I'm sure when the pain was deep, there wasn't anything that really could fix the pain in Hannah's heart. Sometimes there are experiences in life that we really can't fix. There's not anything that's going to erase them, and they're there, and they're a part of us. And I would imagine most of us that are adults have had experiences in our life that are deep inside, and we know they still are there, and they still create feelings within us, and they create things inside of us that we don't always understand. But Hannah's story reminds us that we can take it to the Lord and give it to Him. We can take it to the Lord and leave it there. She took her pain. She took the words of her rival. She took her disappointment. She took it all and she brought it to the Lord. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. I noticed too, as I said, she didn't seem to lash out at anyone else. She didn't lash out at her circumstances. At least we don't know. We don't hear her say it's not fair. We don't hear her going through a pity party. We don't hear her lashing out at the people around her. But she took her burden to the Lord. It tells us something about the deep character of Hannah. Hannah knew where to take the disappointments in her life. It tells us something about her character. When you measure character in the Bible, we look at all kinds of different people. We looked at Lot. We looked at Abraham. We looked at Noah. We've looked at different people. But in this story of Hannah, we also have a picture of a deep character. She had deep hurt in her life, but she took it to God, and God heard her prayer. You know, when we go through difficult times, that's probably when our character may be the most tested. You know, when we go through a painful experience and we're dealing with something that just hurts so deeply, it's during those times that God can help our character to be formed. If we make the decision and the choice to put our eyes on God, God can help us in the painful experiences of life to become the people that God called us to be. You know, it's in the fire that the iron is forged. It's in the difficult times of your life that your character can be shaped, and you can become, when you go through hard times, you can become and see what God wants you to be. It's also in difficult times that you learn about yourself and you learn about who you are, and God can teach you in the midst of painful times. I'm thinking that in this part of the story, Hannah's a young woman. I don't know how young she is. For many years she's wanted a child. I don't know. Maybe in her 20s, maybe her 30s, maybe her early 40s. I don't know. But along that path, she's felt this pain for a long time. And I realize that every one of us at different times in our lives have things that can be very difficult and painful. Some of the older people in our church family, some of the ones that are in nursing home, and as we visit them and we just kind of see a certain kind of pain in them, oftentimes the pain of loneliness, the pain of disappointment, and they have their level of pain. People who are working for a living and struggling to pay the bills and all those things are often dealing with certain pressures and problems and pains, and sometimes trust with people that they work with. And I think all the way down from the oldest to the youngest, I think of our young people that are here this morning, and you guys are facing some things in your life that maybe some of us did a long time ago, but you're facing certain kinds of pain, some kinds of rejection, your feelings about each other, about your self-esteem and who you are. Somebody's going to hurt you in your life. You're going to go through both good and bad experiences, but how you deal with your pain is so important. What you choose about who you are is so important, and you're the only one that can do that. You can choose your attitude about how you deal with life's problems and pressures. This story is a story that reminds us that we can make a choice. We can have an attitude. There's such a big difference between a good attitude and a bad attitude. There's this fine line, but you choose your attitude. And Hannah chose the right spirit. She chose the right attitude. She could have lived her life frowning. She could have lived her life saying it's not fair. She could have lived her life with how bad Pananiah was and how her husband was just clueless about what she really felt. I mean, she could have lived a bitter life if she would have chosen to, but she didn't choose that path. She chose to weep and to pray to the Lord. And that's a beautiful picture and a story. The truth is, God hears your heart. God hears your heart when you call out to Him. God hears your anguish. God hears what you're feeling and you go through. I know we might not always sense that, and and feel that. But the truth is, God knows what we're going through. God knew all along what Hannah was going through. I don't know why God waited until he did. God had his reason, and I don't know what it is, but God waited for a time, and then he answered Hannah's prayer. Hannah could have been consumed by the bitterness in her life. And so I ask that question as we think about this story. Are you consumed by bitterness in your life? Is there anything in your life that has caused you to have a bitter spirit deep within and you've not been able to get it out? And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you call out to God, maybe you need to weep some more, and maybe you need to pray and say, God, take that away from me again. I kind of feel like forgiveness and bitterness are a little bit of the same thing. Sometimes when somebody's hurt us and we have those feelings that come up, we have to give them to God again. Sometimes when people have hurt us and it just comes back and we can't help those feelings, we just got to give it to God again over and over again. The same with the hurt and the bitterness of pain in our lives. When it comes up, God wants us to give it to him. He hears our prayers and he cares deeply. I believe he cares deeply about our weeping. God heard Hannah weep. He heard her heart. I mean, he saw her tears, I'm sure, but I'm talking about something far deeper than that. He heard the heart of Hannah. And though her husband tried to understand, he couldn't really do it. Eli the priest, he tried to understand and he couldn't really quite get it. But you know who could really understand? Hannah was God himself. And so here's Eli the priest in the story. We come to his part and he's sitting out in front of the tabernacle, in front of the temple, and he doesn't understand. He's pretty clueless too, probably just like Elkanah was. He probably didn't know Hannah. He may have seen her come year after year for the sacrifice, but this year was different. As he came out and he was looking over the tabernacle area, he sees this woman who seems to just be falling down and crying and praying, and he's not sure what she's doing, and he thinks that maybe she's drunk. It says, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. I think of this verse 12, and she kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart. Two things about that, as we see in Hannah also, the consistency that she didn't give up. She just kept praying. She kept praying. She kept praying to the Lord. And also, she was praying from the heart. You know, God knows when we're just kind of praying out of a habit. We're kind of praying because we pray. You know, sometimes when we pray at meals, it's so fast and we're finished. But Hannah's example here is a woman who prayed deeply from her heart. And she kept on praying. Verse 12, she was praying in her heart. God knows your heart. It's not the mix of words that you use. It's not the length of your prayer that matters. It's whether your heart is given to God when you're speaking to him. And God saw Hannah's heart. In verse 15, she says to Eli, I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. She was pouring out her soul. She was praying out of her pain. She was also praying out of a deep faith. She believed that God could hear her prayer. And God did hear her prayer. It says in verse 17 that Eli answered, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. Eli recognized that this woman was deeply seeking God's heart and God's spirit. And he finally realized it and recognized it. Go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. Eli saw the deep pain inside of Hannah, but he also saw a deep faith and he saw a deep righteousness, and he recognized that that's the kind of prayer that God hears and listens to. You know, I think of the story of Hannah and I think pain can either bring you to God or it can turn you completely away from God. Circumstances in your life, and you have been around people who have been, maybe at some time they've been a person of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've gone through a hard time, and you've seen that cause them to grow deeper to the Lord and look to him and seek him and trust him and believe him. Even when life circumstances fall apart, and then there's other people that when difficult times come, and Jesus talked about this in his parable, when hard times come, then they turn around and go the other way. But Hannah was a woman whose pain caused her to go deeper. And so what about the pain in your life? What about circumstances in your life they cause you to look deeper into the heart of God and understand Him and seek Him? Or do they cause you to turn and have a hardened heart toward God? Pain can bring you to God when you turn to Him. God heard Hannah's prayer. And the end of the story is a beautiful one. God heard her prayer. Verse 19 has a word in it that's, I think, very important. It says, early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. That's what I want you to think about, that word remembered. It's not that God had forgotten Hannah. That's not what the word means. The word means literally that God reached out and touched Hannah. God reached out and met her need. It wasn't that Hannah had to get God's attention, but at that moment, in His due time, and it says that, so in the course of time, in God's timing, He reached out and He remembered Hannah. He helped Hannah. He met her need. That word remembered is a beautiful word. God had never forgotten Hannah, but He answered her prayer. And little Samuel was born. So imagine the joy in their home. Go on to that last slide, would you there, Nate? Imagine the joy in their home when Samuel was born. She named a little baby Samuel. The name Samuel means God has heard me. God has heard my prayer. God has heard my heart. God has heard my pain. God gave to Hannah a beautiful son, and he was the son of the covenant. Hannah had made a promise to the Lord. God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And so that begins this story of 28 chapters of how this baby boy, dedicated to the Lord, out of the faith and the prayer and the weeping and the grieving of his mother, becomes an instrument of the Lord. It's used in a mighty way throughout Israel's history. Hannah dedicated him to the Lord. God had a great purpose for his life, and it began with the faith of his mother. What about the pain in your life? What about circumstances that you've already gone through in your life? Have you allowed them to cause you to be more bitter in your spirit, or have you allowed them to call you back to trust God and listen to God? I encourage you today. God knows your heart. He knows your journey. He knows your pain. And when you have a pain and a problem in your life, I encourage you to give it to Him. Would you stand with me as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for this story of Hannah's faith. Lord God, when we mention the name of Hannah in the Bible, we realize that this really is a pretty special story of someone who hurt very, very deeply. And though we might not really understand the depth of her pain here, and although some may be able to do that in this pain and this particular thing, God, you understand that pain can either bring us to a place of faith in You, or we can allow it to make us bitter and draw us away from God and drive us away from the Creator who made us and who loved us. I'm thankful this morning that You care deeply about our lives. You care deeply about our experiences, and You're watching, and You see when we go through painful times. You see, God, when we're disappointed. You see, God, when life falls short of what we want it to. You see when people hurt us, or we go through experiences that cause us to have broken relationships. And Lord God, every part along the way is a reminder that You hear our hearts when we call out to You. Help us to make that choice of faith. Help us to make the choice that Hannah did. I pray, God, and that You then would bless those that respond to You. I'm thankful that You blessed Hannah's faith and You blessed her choices and her decisions. God, help us to learn from that and learn from Your love and Your spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name.